Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni. And here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI has appealed for sustained relief efforts for those left homeless or isolated by flooding in four countries. And Father Peter Balaise, International Director of Jesuit Refugee Service, comments on the Pope's message for the 97th World Day for Migrants and Refugees and speaks about his own view and mission. Pope Benedict XVI has appealed for sustained relief efforts for those left homeless or isolated by floodings in four countries. Addressing the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square on Sunday, the Pope said he was praying for people in Australia, Brazil, the Philippines and Sri Lanka who are suffering because of devastating floods. And he called on aid workers to keep up their relief efforts. As Charles Collins reports, the Pope's appeal came on the 97th World Day for Migrants and Refugees.
On the eve of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity and on the World Day of Migrants and Refugees, Pope Benedict spoke of the experience of the many men and women who are forced to leave their own country.
Questa migrazione a volte è volontaria, altre volte purtroppo è forzata da guerre o persecuzione.
He said migration, which is sometimes voluntary, is sometimes forced by war or persecution. The Pope said the Church, which remembers the Holy Family, has always lived within itself the experience of migration. But if on the one hand the movement of Christians would be an impoverishment for the countries where their ancestors lived, the Holy Father said on the other hand it is an opportunity to increase the missionary zeal of the Word of God. The theme of the papal message for the day, One Human Family, affirms that all people are one community, implying that it is imperative that Christians, although scattered throughout the world and therefore of different cultures and traditions, may be one as the Lord wishes.
Ed è questo lo scopo della settimana di preghiera per l'unità dei cristiani.
He said, this is the purpose of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And this year it is inspired by a passage from the Acts of the Apostles, which reads, One in the Apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. The Pope also pointed out that the octave is preceded by the Day of Jewish Christian Dialogue, a very significant juncture which recalls the importance of the common roots that unite Jews and Christians.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, come sapete, il primo maggio prossimo avrò la gioia di proclamare beato il venerabile Papa Giovanni Paolo II.
After reciting the Angelus, Pope Benedict expressed his joy at the upcoming beatification of Pope John Paul II, which is on May 1st. He said the date is significant. It will be the second Sunday of Easter, which Pope John Paul II dedicated to the Divine Mercy, on the eve of which his earthly life ended.
Quanti lo hanno conosciuto, quanti lo hanno stimato e amato, non potranno non gioire con la Chiesa per questo evento. Siamo felici.
Pope Benedict said those who knew him, those who have respected and loved him, cannot but rejoice with the Church for this event. And finally, the Holy Father said he was praying specially for the flood victims in Australia, Brazil, the Philippines, and Sri Lanka.
Thanks there to Charles Collins for that report. The world has a responsibility to help refugees find places to live and work in safety as part of its vocation to form one family. Yes, one human family is the theme Pope Benedict XVI has chosen for his 2011 message for the World Day for Migrants and Refugees celebrated by most countries on January the 16th. Welcoming refugees is an imperative gesture of human solidarity, the Pope continues. And those who are forced to leave their homes or their country must be helped to find a place where they may live in peace and safety, where they may work and take on the rights and duties that exist in the country that welcomes them. The human family is multi-ethnic and multicultural, Benedict says, and everyone, including migrants and the local populations that welcome them, have the same right to enjoy the goods of the earth, whose destination is universal, as the social doctrine of the Church teaches. Thank you. It is estimated there are about 15 million refugees in the world today and about 27 million internally displaced persons. Many have risked their lives and have been forced to flee from tragic circumstances in their home countries. Just across the road from Vatican Radio, very close to St. Peter's Square, is the Rome headquarters of Jesuit Refugee Service, an organisation that has marked 30 years of accompaniment, service and advocacy with and for refugees across the globe. I asked JRS International Director, Jesuit Father Peter Balès, to find some time to talk to me about his work, his mission, about the way the world is going, and of course, about the Pope's message for this World Day for Migrants and Refugees. I was wondering if there's anything in the message that you would particularly single out as significant to you personally.
Yeah, it's the title. The key message of the Pope's address for the World Day of Migrants and Refugees is one human family. It's a very high ideal. And when I was thinking about it, I recalled a statement of an Iraqi refugee. I don't even know if she was a Muslim or a Christian. She works with us in Aleppo in Syria. And she said, "I never thought that we can be again together." What she referred to is, "I never thought that we, Christian, Muslim, can be again together." They are together in a project we have in Aleppo, where Iraqi refugees do courses, they learn French, all kind of different courses to help the young people get into the school system, adults to learn computer training, better English in order to be able to find a job, or some who get resettled, whatever. But there in that Centre Saint-Martin, they're together, and they are together, say we are like a family. So one human family.
Refugee people who have been divided by politics, which uses religion, Father Balès says, are in this situation, again, together.
So there is a grace, also in a terrible thing, that the catastrophe or the suffering which people experience, and also let's talk about, there are so many Muslim people being killed by this terror attacks, not just Christians. So all are victims of violence, and that's the starting point. If one thinks theologically a bit, why is the starting point? Yes, this common suffering, what they have. And then that can bring them again together, you know, to see that and work together. That's the beauty, what we experience in our work with refugees, that people who have come out of a disaster situation can be again together and build a new kind of bricks of this house of a human family with the Pope talks about, what he mentioned, the multi-ethnic, the intercultural, the different religions and so on. And refugees, migrants, are kind of key agents of forming one human family.
Because, Father Balès explains, the whole world is involved and affected by a process that is well underway.
We cannot stop that process. Yeah, people are mobile, they move. That's going on, that's the evolution, let's say so. But we can shape it constructively or work against and then, you know, create more suffering, but rather a constructive, a positive message forward. And I do think refugees, migrants, are key people to work in that process to form that one human family.
Can I just comment on, you used the word grace. You used the word grace and you used the word beauty, which aren't usually words that are associated with refugees, but which I relate to immediately, especially when I think of the images of refugees, even some of the photographs you have on your wall. They are full of grace.
Yes, because it's in a way a theological mystery, I could say, but out of pain, suffering, comes also often the best of humanity. A Jesuit, a Vietnamese Jesuit, member of the German province, told me 3 days ago, and he said, "I was a boat child. I was in the camp 2 years. We had nothing. But if we had something, we shared that with others. Now it's different now." You know, so for him, it was the best time almost in his life. an experience which is so deep.
And Father Bellet says he has experienced many moments of grace in his work. For example, he wanted to talk about Afghanistan.
Normally what we get is the war, the problems, and that's reality. There's a lot of darkness in the world. But unfortunately, often the little flowers are not covered, which grow.
He showed me a letter written and given to him by a young girl in Herat, who is a student in a project created by Indian Jesuits to teach English to adolescent Afghani boys and girls. Her name is Nazreen, and she has decorated her letter paper with hearts and flowers.
My name is Nazreen. I am a student. I want to be a just judge in the future, to be able to know the masses of society and to serve my people hard. I always wonder why Afghanistan is so insecure. Why Afghanistan became a battlefield for other countries. Why there isn't anyone to do justice about these situations. Why sinners are always allowed to sin. Is there anyone who can solve these problems? It's correct that in Afghanistan there were many wars and it has become backward. But it doesn't mean that the thoughts of people sleep. But they don't try to put them in action. I want to be a symbol of a person. At the end, I would like to counter against.
These are the dreams of young people in Afghanistan. And that's the future. And I say sometimes, to provoke, whoever, the Taliban or other groups, might win the war against the Allied forces, but they will not win the war against the dreams of people. Violence has never won the war. And what she says here, the thoughts of people who do not sleep, the thoughts of these young people do not sleep. And they perform the drama and theater. I was impressed by their English. So that's the dream, and these are the moments of the grace in very darkish situations, which we need to see in order also to foster these little plants of hope, which will grow, but they will grow bigger. Come back to the Pope's message, one human family, yes, in Afghanistan it's possible to work together as one human family, Jesuits, Indian Jesuits, sisters, serve the people of Afghanistan. They're not converting anyone, that's not the issue, that's very clear, there's mutual respect, and that shows Christians, Muslim, we are one human family, and to promote our humanness, our education, that's possible. And the young people in the classes there know and want it, but we think Islam is a better religion. Fine, let her think that way. We think what I have is important to me and I guard that way. But that's no problem. But to take notice, one can be together in the classroom from different backgrounds, religions, cultures. That's a very important thing. That's another little plant which grows. In that one does not need the gun all the time. You know, there are other plans, and this is the beauty in this work, where new things arise and working together, and a human family is shaped. Or we can contribute to that.
Another thing which I noticed in the Pope's message was where he says, people of various religions are urged to take part in dialogue. And he's obviously referring to his theme, which this year is the need for religious freedom, the respect for religious freedom. How do you see that?
Yeah, there are different levels of dialogue. You can, of course, have the very high level, theological, but that's very difficult to get people to say, you know, also let that be for the theologians. There's another level, perhaps below, a bit more practical, to pray together. And we do that also in our teams as JRS, as a Jesuit Refugee Service, in Thailand, in Indonesia. The majority or half of the people are non-Christians. Like in Aceh, we have a team which is half are Indonesian Christians, half are Muslim in an area where there is Sharia. But tradition is a traditional Muslim area. People want to live their lives in their way. It's not something rigid or something, but just it's really through and through the whole life, you know, shaped by that. And we work there. It's possible. And that's another level of dialogue, but already more practical. But most of the time, our humanitarian work is a very practical dialogue. That's why I brought these examples.
Teaching, interacting, bringing aid, all takes place in a very intercultural, interreligious reality. A reality in which believers and non-believers find themselves working side by side. And it is in those very situations where humanity is threatened, Father Belay says, that the human family is pulled together and truly shaped as one.
Very positive, but personally I find one of the greatest tragedies of our day and age are the thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people who die migrating, the people who die in boats on the Mediterranean or crossing the desert or crossing the mountains. And it's something the majority of us do tend to ignore day after day after day.
Yes. Let's say differently. Why you say... Why I'm positive? Not positive because it will be so much better, whatever, but the hope comes from very concrete action, incarnation, in the reality, and that's from where the hope comes. I said that in your radio at Christmas message, I quoted one refugee from Colombia. I said, Leonardo, how do you maintain hope? And she turned around, because they have been displaced in Bonaventura 13 years ago. They're going to be displaced again. They have built up a little cooperative, a nice living now, kind of simple, humble, but they have a place, a home, and they will be expelled probably again. And how do you maintain hope? She turns around, puts her arm around her adolescent boy and says, mi hijo, my son, this is my hope. For people, life is concrete. It's incarnate, it's tangible. And then, for me, that was a Christmas message. Why do we sustain this hope? And I thought we go into this new year with new hope. Of course, after 1 week, there's Sudan, we don't know what there's Ivory Coast, and what is next? What next? You put your question, what are your successes and future? What? I don't know what this year is going to bring. But, okay, we continue because... I think God, in our theological, said, mi hijo here, it's in the crib here, still at the Vatican place there, mi hijo. That's why we have hope and continue and have to continue.
He could fill his time with bad news, Father Belais told me, but he would rather spend it doing something constructive.
The world is turning because there's so much good in the world. We ignore that very often. There's so much service and nobody speaks about because it's not calculated in these economic terms and it's not turned into money. Love cannot be turned into money, but our world is turning around money and everything. And that damn system is causing a lot of the problems. Take it. Take the whole spectrum from migration to refugees. It's deeply a very economic issue. And perhaps to change, make a change, we would need to talk a bit about the economic system. Some people, the best trained, leave the country because they can earn more money somewhere else. Fine, free migration, we accept that, but it deprives of their own country. Then you go, the poor people in the very poor in that country have to leave because they have no living there, so go somewhere else to work cheaply but still better salaries than what they get at home. Their families torn apart there. This is fascinating also what happens. The Skype family... Migrants have a 1 week, they meet on Skype with the family, the grandparents with the children there in Ecuador and the mom working in Italy and perhaps the father was in Italy or somewhere else, they meet on Skype. They're very inventive. They use the technology. It's also fascinating, you know. And the mobile SMS and all these new technologies, they use the migrants, you know. But they're forced for economic reasons to live apart.
Yes, families are forced to live apart. But look down the line, Father Belais points out, it takes no genius to see that migration, for some, means business.
It's one of the biggest businesses in the world, trafficking people. And as more we put up the walls, as more the traffickers profit from that. A lot of good resources are lost, the families of poor families, to try to get somebody somewhere to earn something, to send something back. And all that money goes for de facto criminal activities, exploiting people. With what we hear from Libya, what the Africans pay, and when they have to pay again, the traffickers and the police, and so on. Then you come to the displacement due to war. What is behind these wars? Resources. Where are the wars? Where the oil is, where the energy is, the uranium is, and so on. Resource wars. So it's always economic. And why do people go from one part of the world to another part? Because all the capital, because we are capitalist-driven economic system, where capital is number one and not human labor, the human person, where the, it's not what the social teaching of the church says, the people are not first and then capital comes, but we are capitalist global society, and these are the consequences. People have to move where the capital is. Sometimes they say in provocative, let's, because this system creates controlling people, more borders, more division, and capital is free, the free market, but only free for goods and money. Perhaps we can think of a world, maybe it's provocative, control capital and let people free. Use the resources where they are needed, and people can stay at home. But we should not be surprised if we run a system like that, that people have to move, and that we feel threatened. The simple people feel threatened. They're played against one another, their job, the migrants work for less, and they, and so on. We play, that system is playing people against one another instead of being used to make everyone a possible living where they are. So we need, if we want to tackle that issue of a big migration, which is there, which is reality, which many people, where they're forced to migrate, living, if you really want to tackle it, perhaps need also to think the way we structure our economic system. Because in the very simple way, labor and capital, what John Paul II said, you know, the relationship of that, and to think about that. So that's, for me, one of the root causes of the whole thing.
And then he says we come to climate change and migration due to ecological issues.
Yeah, what is behind? The same, the economic system, the way we live, or some live. And the others have to migrate. They cannot live anymore. So I say that with all strength, we need to think about that. And the issue is deeper than just say what migration laws and things we have. We need to think. There are different levels of response. I mean, it's also said that, you know, to invest in countries, that people can live there. There are political attempts there that people are aware of that. But we need to see that in all clarity.
And what about this annual recurrence, I asked Father Bellais. It's the 97th World Day for Migrants and Refugees. Shouldn't we be thinking about the issue all the time?
It's with us all the time, but we need to have these moments, not to celebrate, but to bring it more to the awareness and to foster the reflection. And I would like to quote here our Father General, who addressed us in a letter on the occasion of 30 years, the Jesuit Refugee Service, and he writes here about hospitality, which is very much in the line of the message of the Pope. He says, Father Adolfo Nicolas,
I also wonder how JRS can advocate and promote more actively the gospel value of hospitality in today's world of closed borders and increased hostility to strangers. Hospitality is that deeply human and Christian value that recognizes the claim that someone has, not because he or she is a member of my family or my community or my race or my faith, but simply because he or she is a human being who deserves welcome and respect.
So our work is, by accompanying refugees, serving them, is also how to advocate, and that's how can the church advocate this value. And maybe the church has a very privileged position. The church is de facto, and that's what I love about the Catholic Church and the things, the most global intercultural, inter-ethnic community on this world, yeah, where people look to Vatican Square It's fascinating. All the people walk around, some are tourists, the others are Christians, the others are this, and they come. What gathers and what passes we are, it's fascinating. It's a symbol also.
And he says it actually works.
In which company in Germany you can get an Indian to be then the boss? In a Catholic church, it works. We have an Indian, he's a priest, and he works in a rural village in Bavaria, where we normally don't have too much to do with India, and he's our parish priest. You understand? These things are there. That's not always easy. There are misunderstandings. There's the ways, the same way people didn't understand my Shona when I was a missionary in Zimbabwe and had to suffer like other people who don't speak well German. Now, my sister said, it's just people in Africa, and Peter didn't speak well. Also had the same problem, whatever. But just think about that. There's something, also a positive reality growing. A bit difficult, but it is there, and the Catholic Church brings people together across nations, across cultures, across ethnic groups, which is fascinating. And we should use that capital more, that asset more, to promote this hospitality, that the openness to reach out to the world. And in our very practical work, yeah, it's very useful to have all over parishes, Catholic institutions, on where we can work. I come back to the Middle East. You would not be able to work so easily there if there were not some Christian institutions, the Greek Catholics who give us a school in Jordan, in Amman, and we can... The network. And where do the urban refugees... Half of the refugees are in urban centers now. Because the urbanization of the world has also the consequence. The refugees, half of them are urban refugees. They come from urban centers from Baghdad and go to a city. They don't go to the rural area. They don't even know how to live in a rural area. So, but how to reach out to them? They're invisible. They're hidden. They're afraid. They need centers. They need places where they can meet in a safe way, unpolitical, of course, but to be together. And often, it's again, the parish can deliver the space, like in Nairobi, St. Teresa Parish, where the Mathare Valley is turning more and more Somali, because Somalis live there now, but it's still the parish, St. Teresa, who is a meeting ground where we also have our base to work. So from the ideal down to reality, that Catholic Church has a lot of an asset to promote this one human family.
That's all from the English feature program today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we'll be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.